Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Excited about Jesus. Hallelujah. We always got to remember he is the reason for our salvation. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. And we always got to remember that and be excited about who God is in our life. Amen. Somebody say amen. All right. I know we got just a few today, but y'all going to make some noise today. No, I'll just play. You ever been to those churches and it's like, man, make some noise, right? The reason why pastors do that is to make sure, I'll tell you this. The reason why I do that is to make sure people are paying attention. If you can, or you're away, right? I'd be like, amen, Sister Jane, right? Yeah. But, and it's not a thing to call people out, but sometimes when you're talking, you know, everybody has different things. Some people would fall asleep in school, right? I never could fall asleep in school. I think I fell asleep one time in school, and let me say this before I even say that. I tried to fall asleep in this one class because it was so mellow tone to be nice to the teacher, right? The teacher was like, yes, this, and it was a fine arts class of all things. The very first class of the day, yes, and we have, Houston, we have a problem. Like, that's, he talked the whole time like that. And that was one of the toughest classes I ever had in my life because there was no energy. Amen. So, one thing I always want to do when I minister the word of God is make sure I bring energy, but be who God has called me to be. Amen. All right, today I'm going to start a new sermon. I'm not sure if it's going to be a series. I'm just going to be led by the Lord on this thing. And it's called reverence. Somebody say reverence. Now, I talked about this a little bit last week while we were doing praise and worship, how I picked up somebody in an Uber story. Here we go early, right? I picked somebody up in the Uber and they were at a Buddhist temple. And just seeing all the people going, leaving the building and all the people in their clothing and just the respect that they had for Buddha, right? Which we know as believers that it's a false god, it's a statue, it's an idol. The Bible calls them dumb gods. Why? Because they cannot speak to you. But these people hold in the highest regards this statue, which is interesting. And I remember, I don't know who told me, but when they had the Buddhist temple right down the street, one of the priests says, yeah, we know the statue is not really anything, but we have a little hole in the back, and that's where the spirits come in and go out, right? So they know that this is a spiritual thing. But they hold in high regard, and they reverence their idol or their god. So it got me to thinking, like, do we as believers reverence our God? You know what I'm saying? And what does that look like? What does that mean? We're going to talk about it. But the Bible says this in Psalm 33, verse 8. This is going to be the key scripture for today. And like I said, if this series continues, this is what's going to be the theme scripture. Psalm 33, verse 8, it says this. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him, okay? Let me break it down in the NIV. It says, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him, okay? So when we see revere, and the other thing it said, what did it say? You got it up there? Stand in awe. What does it mean to stand in awe of God? Be amazed about who God is, right? It's important that we do this. Let me just say something real clearly. But actually, let me go ahead and pray first. Heavenly Father, I thank you to God for this time. God, we are just grateful, dear God, that you've placed us here today. Dear God, I thank you, dear God, that everybody is here. Dear God, that you've placed them here for such a time as this. Dear God, and I pray to God that your word would speak to all of our hearts, oh God. It would allow us to grow in our admiration and love and reverence of who you are. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say, amen. All right. Now, as I was getting ready to say, the world does not revere God. You guys all know that. We should know that, right? The world does not fear God in a healthy sense or even in an unhealthy sense. Now, I'll tell you guys this. I got saved the first time I gave my life to the Lord. I was 7 years old, and Michael can attest to this. We used to watch TBN all the time. While they probably went to sleep before me, they left TBN on, and I would watch TBN late night. And the pastor was like, if you don't want to go to hell, you need to accept Jesus Christ. And I was like, man, I don't want to go to hell. Like, I was listening to what he said. So out of fear, I said, I'm going to give my life to God. So he's like, repeat this prayer with me. And I repeated it 100 times, right? Because I was like, I don't want to go to hell. Now, that was a fear in one sense, right? As you grow in God, you know that you cannot fear or just go to God out of fear. You know what I mean? Sometimes people look at God as an escape from hell, and guess what? He is, but that is not all that he is. Amen? So as you grow in knowing who God is, you have a healthy fear of God. Now, what this fear that I'm talking about is not, oh, I'm scared of God. It's you respect God to the highest degree, right? So I told you about the story about those people going to the Buddhist temple. I got another story. Man, two in one sermon, right? I got another story where I was driving in an Uber and these people got in and they started mocking Jesus. They started saying a whole bunch of things and I just listened to them. But I was praying like, God, don't let us get in no accident. Don't let nobody's lives be lost. They forgive them, Lord. I had to say this prayer because they know not what they're doing, right? And sometimes I say this, if it's a few people and they are in a conversation where I think that this is going to be a healthy time to really introduce who God is, I will say some things. But this at this moment, it was too far. They were saying a lot of things that it grieved my spirit, right? Those people had no reverence of God. They mocked God. Similar to the men that crucified him. You guys remember that? They said that he's the King of Kings and they spit on him. They beat him with a cat of nine tails. They did all of these things to mock him. Right? This is why Jesus was on earth. People mocked him. So guess what? They're still going to do the same thing today. Now, I will say this. The world, since we know that the world will not reverence God or stand in awe, and I'm gonna actually break the word reverence down, then guess what? We as the body of Christ have to make sure we reverence God to the point where if they see us, they say, man, their God must be for real, because the way that he respects and honors God with his whole life, there has to be something more than just the talk that I've heard. That is the importance of us reverencing God. Amen. A life of worship is reverence to God. And you guys heard me say this many times. Worship is not a what? Song. Somebody say worship is not a song. It's a what? It's a way of life. Your worship is not singing that song that, you know, where you close your eyes and even you might start crying. And guess what? That's part of worship. But the way that you worship God is the way that you live your life. And that is reverence of who God is. Amen. So let me go to the scripture once again, the theme scripture for this sermon today. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. Amen. Now, I wanted to break down what reverence means. I looked it up. It's a noun. There's a noun and a verb. And the first one says a deep respect for someone or something. All right. Some of the synonyms, which means the same words or words you can switch interactively with reverence, is high esteem, high regard, great respect, acclaim, admiration, appreciation, estimation, and favor, okay? Then it says the verb is actually very similar. It says to regard or treat with deep respect. So when I think about reverence in the walk of a believer, we have to make sure we honor God to the point where we hold him in the highest regard. What does that mean? That means that there is nobody above him. Okay? Now we say that in church, right? But what does that look like? Well, if you have a situation in front of you, and as a believer, you should seek counsel within God. Say, God, what do you think about this situation? I need to know. And there's plenty of times where I pray this and I might not get an answer right away. Has that happened to anybody before? You're like, God, I really think that I should do this. I have these two options, but God, tell me what to do. And by doing that, you are allowing God to lead you, even if you don't get an answer right away. Sometimes the answer is wait. Sometimes the answer is not now. But as you spend time with God and say, God, you are the highest form that I regard. You are the highest that I regard. There's nobody higher than you. So even in my decision making, Lord, allow me to respect and revere who you are. It's very important that we do this. Amen. Somebody say fear and admiration of God. Admiration is another word we can put in there for reverence. I think it's important that we get to a place where we admire who God is. Right? This is why we come to church. We got to remember why we come to church. What's the whole purpose of us coming to church? It's to meet God. It's to get into his presence. It's to encourage the others in God. Amen. So everything we do as we come to join in this building should be to lift God up and admire him and be in awe of who he is. All right. One of the scriptures we're going to run to real quick is 1 Peter 3, verse 15 through 17. 1 Peter 3, verse 15 through 17. Hallelujah. All right. It says, I was using my wife's Bible to send some of the scriptures, and it's in the NIV, so I'm going to read both of them since I have both of them. Is that all right? Yeah, sometimes when you want clarity on the scripture, read more than one. What is the word? That's right. Thank you, Michael. Read more than one translation. All right. So I'm going to read from the New King James Version first, because that's the one I use most of the time. It says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. All right. What does sanctify mean? Anybody want to share? To make pure, to worship, sanctified. When something is sanctified, it is clean. But then in the NIV, it says, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. So what does revere mean? Reverence, admire, right? Put him above anything else. And then it says, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Have a good conscience that when they defame you as an evildoer, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Okay. Now, let me back up and read that in the NIV version. It says, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so those who speak maliciously or wrongly against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Let me break that scripture down. What it is saying is honor God, fear God, reverence God, right? And how do we do that? one way that we do it, this is not the only way that we do it. It says, be ready to share the hope, the peace that you have in Jesus Christ at all times. Right? Now, let me just say this. Sometimes as believers, we're not ready to share what we have. Right? Have anybody ever been convicted by the Holy Spirit to share? And we're like, I don't know if I really should do that. Right? God is telling you, tell that person why you believe in me. Tell them why I'm real. And we're like, I don't know. God, that's, are you sure God didn't need to hear that? Yeah. First of all, God wants everybody. We got to go back to the scripture. God is not willing that any man perish, but that every man would accept him. That's God's plan. But people have other plans. And guess what? Sometimes we hinder God's plan by not sharing why we believe. Right? This is why it's important that we revere God. So if we ever get that nudge, we know we got to do it. Now, I'll tell you this. I always got Uber stories because I drive so much. Okay. But people, when people get in the car, I know when the Spirit of God is saying, share something with them. And guess what? They may not accept Christ. And look, I got these Uber stories, but some of y'all ride the bus, right? Some of y'all pass people or might even walk with people wherever you're headed. That's your time to do these things, okay? Because I don't want you guys to think, oh, if I'm not in an Uber, I don't got to share the gospel, right? Uber is not the only vehicle, no pun, to share the gospel. You are the vehicle where the gospel must be shared. So the people that are around you in your workplace, and be wise when you share the gospel at your jobs, okay? Do not be doing, oh, I'm going to share the gospel. I'm not packing nothing. I'm going to share the gospel. You get fired. The Bible says, in everything you do, do it unto the Lord. I've been saying that to my kids constantly. Whatever you do, do it unto God. Why? Because then you will be honored even amongst men. So when you're at your job, do a great job. But if you're on break and you're eating lunch with somebody, share something with them. Give an account for what you believe. Then it said, but sanctify the Lord. Verse 16 says, have a good conscience, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, that those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. So it says, just like Daniel, they tried to say Daniel was doing wrong, right? You guys remember that? So they tried to, they had to find something wrong. And the only way they can find something wrong for Daniel was if he stayed committed to his God. You guys remember that? I talked about it not too long ago, where Daniel, they came up with a plan to say, if anybody prays to any God other than you for a certain amount of time, they're going to be thrown into the lion's den. And guess what? Daniel did what he did. He prayed. Not only did he prayed as was his custom. He opened the windows and prayed out to God 3 times a day. And they caught him. But then the second part of that scripture says, the last part of the scripture says, for it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Right? What does that mean? Very simple. Sometimes it's going to be the will of God to suffer. But don't suffer for being a dummy. All right? Suffer for doing what God wants you to do. If you got to suffer, that's the way to suffer. Right? But we must be willing to fear and reverence God so much that even the people that say that we're doing wrong, they realize, nah, they're not doing wrong. They're too committed to God. I heard somebody talking about it. I can't remember who it was. Somebody was just talking about how, as a believer, people want him to do a whole bunch of different things. And he's like, I don't do that. It's not part of who I am. Why? Because I reverence God higher than your opinion.
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
And guess what? We are in a world today where many people's opinions are drawing believers away from God because they're not revering, they're not fearing, they're not holding in high admiration the word of God. They hold higher the people that they're around. They hold higher the opinions that people share. And it's our job as believers to make sure we don't do that. Amen. I was sharing today with some people just about, you know, the church. And when people ask, oh, you're a pastor? I say, yeah, I'm a pastor. I tell them, hey, we're in a very intimate church setting, right? We're here to share the word of God and live the word of God. And they were like, man, that's hard. And I just chuckled, right? And I was like, yeah, it's difficult, but that's what we're called to do, right? I tell people all the time when I explain what our church is about, we are not here to prove our point and try to back our point up with scripture. We are here to back up what the scripture says. I'm not here to preach new things and new revelations and new things that, oh, well, we just got to be, on the cutting edge. Hey, if you're cutting the word of God, you're going to be on the wrong side of the cutting edge when Jesus comes back, right? So you must accept God's word, and this is the word that we follow. We don't lead the word of God. We follow the word of God. And when you say that, some people are like, wow, yeah, but that's all it's about. I tell people, look, if we're not following the word of God, it's a problem. And I, as a leader, the Bible says you will be judged more strictly if you lead people astray. Matter of fact, it says it like this. If you harm one of these children, it's better for you to grab a millstone, tie it around your neck, and throw yourself in the Pacific Ocean. Right? And ain't no whale coming to swallow you up. Because you ain't Jonah. Right? But the importance of following God's word, and not only following God's word, but leading people in the word of God, is so important. And it's unfortunate that we find so many churches today doing the opposite. I saw a stat that was alarming in one sense, but it makes sense in another, because a lot of Christians don't believe the word of God. So they're not really Christians. Let me say this. You're not a Christian if you don't believe the entire word of God. Let me say this, though. When somebody first gets saved, they might not know the entire word of God. So it's the job of leaders, and it's their job to seek out the word of God and accept that word of God. Amen? But it said on Twitter, I had to see my Twitter, right? On Twitter, it said 52% of quote unquote Christians don't believe Jesus is the only way to heaven. Now, 52% of people, quote unquote, that are believers in the word of God don't believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Well, if the Bible says, Jesus says himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man could come to the Father except through me, right? And anyone that tries to find another way is a liar and a thief. And then he breaks it down. You will be taken care of, like they take care of liars and thieves. Right? But that's the deceit that has come because we don't revere who Jesus is. Right? Now, that stat, when you get those kind of stats, I believe those are stats of people that go to church, not Christians. Okay? Because guess what? People that go to church, just because you go to church doesn't mean you're a Christian. Just like people have said things like this. Just because you sit in the garage, it doesn't make you a car. Right? Just because you drink gas, it doesn't make you a car. Now, don't go home and drink gas. That is detrimental to your health and can kill you. Right? But we have to remember that. And we must revere God as the body of Christ. Now, I did have the definition for admiration. It was to respect. It's respect and warm approval. And it says some of the synonyms are respect, appreciation, high regard, esteem, veneration, and more. And it's the same pretty much as what reverence was. But we're going to go to Exodus chapter 19. All right, Kiki, we're going to go to Exodus chapter 19. Hallelujah. We're going to read this and we're going to be done for today. All right. Exodus chapter 19 says, and actually we're going to start at, yeah, we'll just start at the beginning. In the third month after the children of Israel had gone out from the land of Egypt, on the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai. For they had departed from Rephidim, had come to the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness. So Israel camped there before the mountain. And it says, and Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. OK. Sorry. And it says, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. So let's break this down. So the Israelites get out of Egypt. And let's be clear, the real reason why they were leaving Egypt, what did Moses say? So we can go and worship our God, right? And then in Egypt, Pharaoh was like, who is this God that you guys should get permanent leave from me? He said, I'm God. What do you mean? There ain't no way I'm about to let these people go worship some other God that I've never heard of and I don't respect. Right? Because that's what it means when you don't honor God, you don't respect them. Did you guys catch that? So while they are here at Mount Sinai, the reason why they came, God is giving Moses instructions to tell the people. Now, as I was reading this, Moses was, I look at Moses like this. Moses was one of the first pastors. Now, he didn't have the title, hey, Pastor Moses, but he had to lead people to God. Right? So when I look at it, Moses' job was to set them free from the bondage and lead them to a place where they can learn and be in a place where they can worship God. Now, guess what? Could they have worshiped God in Egypt? Yeah, they could have. Because I believe that while Joseph was one of the close ones to Pharaoh, they were worshiping God. But it says, when you look in the scriptures, that Pharaoh that was before Moses didn't remember nor respect, nor revere the God of Joseph. Okay? Now, how does that happen? I'm going to tell you how it happens. Those people that were respecting and honoring God didn't do a good job of passing it on. Right? Now, one thing that I tell my kids every day, and we teach them, I say, we got to love God more than we did yesterday. We got to love God and love people. We get in the car, we say that. A couple other things we say is rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. This is a day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in. So when you go to your school, don't be coming in there with a frown. Right? Why? Because God blessed you to see this day. It's not something that you just did on your own. You didn't just wake up. So what I'm doing is training them to honor God in all that they do. And I pray that as I do that, that they carry that on to their children, my grandkids one day, right? And my great grandkids one day, right? Right? That's the goal. So one day Kiki will have kids, right? And they'll be screaming and talking like that. while she might be saying something at church, who knows, right? But they're here at this mountain, and God says a few things that are very crucial. He says, First of all, he wants them to realize how he saved them from Egypt. He said that in verse 4. Then he says in verse 5, if you obey me and keep my covenant, you will be a special treasure to me above all people. But then he says this, for all the earth is mine. So what God is saying is anybody can do this, but I'm trying to, I want you to be my treasure, right? If you honor and obey me. Then it says, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nations. And that's the words that Moses was supposed to say. So we hear in verse 7, it says, so Moses came and called the elders of the people and laid before them all the words which the Lord commanded. Then all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. So let me say this real quick. Many people have said that same statement. Whatever God says, we're going to do it, right? But that's not revering God. That's just saying the right thing. It's one thing to say it. It's another thing to do it. That's why some people might say, God, forgive me of my sins. Lead me, fill me with your Holy Spirit, right? Help me to walk and follow in your path, to take up my cross and follow you. But guess what? They don't do it. They just said the words. But when you really mean what you say, then you're going to do it. You're going to say, God, help me to follow you. And guess what that means? There's going to be times where it's going to be difficult to follow God's word. Amen. But if you were sincere in what you said, you're going to go do it. So the elders say, hey, what you said is good. We're going to do it. And then in verse 8, it says, let me read it again. Then all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. So Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. So this is why I'm saying he's like a pastor, because he's like the in-between at this point. Right? He's going back. God tells him something. Let me go tell the people. Right. And as a pastor, it's our job to get in the presence of God. God, what do you want us to say? OK, cool. Let me go share it with the people. Now, let me clarify something. That doesn't mean the people that are in the body of Christ cannot do the same thing. Sister Jane, Monica, Michael, we all have the ability to go to God and say, God, what do you want me to say? God, what do you want me to do? And then when you get it, you go walk it out. Amen. It's important to remember that. The more, and I tell you guys this, if you really want to hear God speak to you, the way God speaks to you is through his word. Okay? So the more you read the word of God, the more that you're going to hear the voice of God. Amen. Because the Spirit of God is who speaks the Word of God. You guys get that? The Spirit of God is the one that speaks the Word of God. It says in John 16, 13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth or the Holy Spirit has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. That's the Spirit's job. It's to bring the word of God to your remembrance, to lead you in truth. And the Bible is very clear about who the truth is. The truth is the word of God. Amen. All right. So it says, and the Lord said to Moses, behold, in verse 9, I come to you in a thick cloud that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever. So Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to the people, consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. You shall set bounds up for all the people all around you, saying, take heed to yourselves that you do not go up on the mountain or touch its base. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. It says right here, not a hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot with an arrow. Whether man or beast, he shall not live. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come near the mountain. All right. So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said to the people, be ready for the third day. Do not come near your wives. Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and thick cloud on the mountain. And the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. Now, let me stop right here. That is incredible right here. All right? So God is showing the people. Let's catch what's going on here, okay? God is showing the people that he is really talking to Moses. Why? Because some people, just like today, he ain't got a word from God. He's not hearing from God. She's not sharing the word of God. But at this moment, guess what? There were probably doubters with Moses as well. So what Moses did was he's talking with God, and this is God assuring who Moses is as a leader to those that are in Egypt, that came from Egypt. This is 3 months after they came out of Egypt, okay? Somebody say 3 months. 3 months. Now, guess what? It could have been enough just that they saw the Red Sea open up, because there still ain't no sea that's opening up like that. Right? I mean, the Red Sea is out there. Ain't nobody on TV parting the Red Sea right now. Right? But it says, then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top. Oh, wait, I want to go back. Verse 19, and when the blast of the trumpet sounded long, it became louder and louder. Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. Now, this is incredible because everybody in the camp heard the voice of God. They got to hear God's voice that day. Not only did they get to hear God's voice, they got to hear the thundering, the loud trumpet, the earth quaking. Why? Because the earth reveres who God is. You guys catch that? The earth reveres who God is in such a way that the earth can't contain itself when God comes. You guys remember Jesus says, hey, if these people don't praise me, the rocks are going to cry out. Guess what? This is what's happening right here when God touches this mountain. All right. So now God only answered him by voice. And then it says, then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain. And the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. Verse 21 says, and the Lord said to Moses, go down and warn the people, lest they break through to gaze at the Lord, and many of them perish. Also, let the priests who come near to the Lord consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them. But Moses said to the Lord, the people cannot come up on Mount Sinai, for you warned us, saying, set bounds around the mountain and consecrate it. Then the Lord said to him, away, get down, and then come up, you and Aaron with you. But do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break out against them. So Moses went down to the people and spoke to them. And that's the end of what I'm going to read today. But what I want to show you is the reverence, the fear. They got ready for 3 days for God to come, right? They said they got to get clean. They had to prepare themselves. They had to abstain from their spouses, right? At this moment, so that they could be in awe of who God is and who he was, and be ready to see who God is. When we talk about reverence, some of the things that we have to do is make sure we're not being distracted. And guess what? I'm guilty of distractions sometimes, right? You come to church and you're distracted. Oh, man, everything's going on. Man, my pants is not feeling funny. You know, my phone is going off. Guess what? We have to be in awe of God so much that if our phone goes off, we don't even care. Right? One of the things I look at when we stand in awe of God is not being distracted by all that goes on around us. Because there's a lot of things that come in life to make us gasp or, wow, that was awesome, right? I mean, when I watched a basketball game, I was watching one with my son yesterday and my daughter. And the cool plays, I'm like, whoa, bro, did you see that? Rewind. Whoa, look at that. Oh, man, you got to see it one more time. Look at this movie does. And they're like, wow, that's cool, right? But I'm like, man, that's awesome. We should be the same way about God, right? We should be the same way about God. When it comes time to worshiping who God is, we should be in such awe that we're not even worried about the words that we're singing. We're not worried about anything. We're consecrating and respecting our God to the highest degree. That's the most important thing that we can do as believers. Amen. So let us reverence who God is in our life today and forever. Heavenly Father, I thank you to God for this word. I pray to God that you would allow us to respect you on another level, oh God, to give you the highest regard that we have in our life. God, forgive us for any times, dear God, we've allowed other things to supersede who you are in our life. Allow us to put you in the number one spot. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.